Yo, what is up? Welcome to Throwdown episode 204. I am your host, Carlos Romero, and I am here joined by Chris Seeley,
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Brian Manjoma.
What we're doing now? We're roundhouse and kicking girls now? Is a thing?
Whoa.
Brett Murdoch.
You know, I was going to say something wry, and then that whole roundhouse kick thing just totally threw me off.
And Adam Vale.
I already pre-ordered my Switch too, suckers.
So, and we'll talk about that later. As you guys can see, there is no Manny today and no Tony as well. Both of them have Comic-Con related things that they have to do, so they won't be able to join us. Maybe Tony will pop in or something, but just to say hi. But yep, we're gonna have to deal without our two hosts. So to start off with, we are going to talk about the biggest news of the week, which is dun dun dun, new Switch hardware in 2019. So apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, there are plans for a revised hardware version of the Switch to release in 2019. And one of the things that they mentioned is, well, at least one of the big things that's kind of sort of conclusive is that they're going to be updating their screen, and they're not going to be updating it to an OLED as sort of like going the way of Apple, because I don't think they want to have the whole issue that they had this past year where they had manufacturing issues because they were just waiting on Apple's things because they were sort of higher priority in the queue. So I'm interested in to see, because we discussed this a lot of times. I think we predicted this a long time ago that there's going to be a Switch revision or a Switch upgrade pretty soon. So I want to point this out at Chris first. Chris, what are your thoughts about this?
Oh, we called this shit that they were gonna revise the Switch within 2 years of launch, and here it is. But they're gonna revise a lot more than the screen. So with the thing that the Wall Street Journal was focusing on was like, oh, they're not gonna have OLED like Apple. Like I want to be like that. Oh, that's great journalism, guys. You realize that Apple had to buy a whole manufacturing company to make their own LED screens because they practically own the planet. But anyone else looking to use OLED, they will probably take a loss on each system, just how expensive it is to produce that. So they're using some newer format LCD that's cheaper to manufacture and thinner, so it creates less heat, and which makes sense. But I think that they'll revise a lot more than that. Like a screen upgrade is like almost not worth mentioning, right? So there's got to be a lot more coming. I've speculated that they're going to use a new SoC. They might either use faster memory or put more memory in the second switch. And who knows? Maybe this one, get this, I wouldn't put this past them. This one will come with the virtual console, but it will only be able to run on the new Nintendo Switch. Now, you heard it here first, guys, because they pulled this shit already with the 3DS. You telling me you couldn't run a Super Nintendo Nintendo emulator on the original 3DS? That we know that was a bunch of bullshit. So watch them try that again.
Well, they did that. I think you're mentioning like the new 3DS with Monster Hunter, right? They had a little nub and like.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden, oh, this one can play Super Nintendo games off the eShop. You can only do it on this one. I'm like, yeah, please, give me a break.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, 'cause I think a lot of the things that Nintendo could actually improve on is sort of battery consumption, like things that can reduce battery usage and make it last longer. Since it's a quote unquote primarily a portable system, I think one of the biggest things that it needs to prove to people is that you can spend a long time with this thing not being charged and keep playing it for vast amount of hours. Brett, what are your thoughts about this?
I'm really curious as to whether this is just going to be the new original or a new standard model, or if it's going to be a different SKU. I think it's probably going to be the new standard, so that because they're not going to, you know, they're doing this to cut costs. But my thing is, if they make it genuinely better and they make several actual upgrades to that, they risk alienating the 20,000 or 20 million people that have already bought a Switch. So I don't think that they could push too hard, on that front, I mean, if anybody is arrogant and stupid enough to do it, I will grant you it is Nintendo. But with the rapid success that they're seeing, I can see them making small quality of life improvements and just calling in, this is the second generation Switch kind of thing. Doing, as every console has done. Like it's not really, that's not an uncommon thing. PlayStation did it with the PlayStation 3, the original PlayStation. Every console has this where they go in, they do small alterations, some good, some bad, a lot of times cheaper. And that's fine. And if that's just this getting overblown, I totally understand that. But if they're actually talking about making core design changes to the Switch and its form or function, I feel like that's a really bad move for Nintendo. Despite how successful it is, it would piss off an equal number of people. Like I don't see, like, even looking at it from, okay, so you have a 20 million user install base, right? So what are you going to make 40 million people really fucking happy with this change, and all of a sudden sell that many more units? Like you're running the risk of pissing off up to 20 million people, which is a lot of people to upset.
I don't
And
know, man. They didn't do it with 3DS. I mean, look at the install base of 3DS when they introduced the new one.
they had the market cornered on 3DS, and that's why I say they may be stupid enough and have enough hubris to do this, but I would hope that they don't have the cockiness that they show in the handheld market, because they don't have that shit cornered. They don't have consoles cornered nearly the same way. In fact, they're running up. Well, they're not running up last anymore.
Well,
Ouch.
I would only say it makes sense because of the litigious move they made to get ROMs pulled. They got ROM sites. They got Evil Paradise pulled their shit, man. They are getting that the ROM market cleaned up, and I guarantee they're gonna put the Virtual Console on this revised SKU, and they're gonna say you can only get this or play these games on this Switch. Watch.
Isn't that going to flood the market with used Switches, though, as they come to, as people trade in?
They don't care.
It didn't really happen so much when they did that with the 3DS XL. Remember the new 3DS, and that one could only do the Super Nintendo, and they did that, and that was like 2 years after the fact.
But they're gonna do that. Look, they're setting it up like this makes sense now that now this news comes out, right? They're setting things up now to put the virtual console that everybody asked for. Oh, but oh wait, you gotta buy this new system to get it. And man, that's gonna burn. Like you said, like some you're gonna be mad, and some people are gonna be mad. The Switch gang's gonna be happy. They'll throw money at Nintendo all fucking day. But everyone else who has common sense is gonna be pissed.
I
Sure.
mean, it's no different than what Apple does with their S series. They charge the same price. It's not a discount. And they're like, oh, here's an S, and this is how much it costs. Damn, that's a lot. Okay, here you go. Take my money.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because
Apple consumers are suckers.
Yeah, well, that's it. Now this is a test to see if these people go that far. Because I mean, according to the article, which sort of makes sense. It's like they just want to make sure that they're still relevant. Yeah, a lot of people have switches right now, but they notice that there's a decline and a slow decline in the order. So they're like, well, we got to come up with a revision and get people to jump on board of that one, or even double dip. Well, we got to entice them. A new screen, yeah, that can do it. But I think also maybe some internal memory. Some people want more memory and don't want to go the route of getting their own micro SD card. So maybe it'll come with a 128 gig inside, and they can mark up the price just with that, or justify the 300 price if it is at the same price. And be like, hey, look, it's got 128 gig, it's got this new screen. Maybe they do some other little modifications. I don't know about if they would make the whole GPU more powerful, like what Chris think, because I mean, I think a lot of people would flip out.
It's
Be
gonna be
like, what do you
headset
mean?
compatible.
You're gonna be able to play. What do you mean Gears of War 4 is playable on this? What? I wouldn't,
Is he on there?
yeah, that's, who knows if they'll go, hey, we don't know, that partnership, anything's possible. But I think that might be too much of a jump, but I definitely do agree that there's going to be something else coming out. We definitely know they're using a new board because the other board kept getting hacked, and there is a newer model of that NVIDIA chip that they're using.
I think that's what this is all about. Because remember, Sony did something pretty similar When they were, I think it was the PSP, where they're like, oh, here's a new model. When really it's just your old board got hacked and you want to close up that security loophole from here on out. And you do so by like, oh, you reduce the cost a little bit. And they were like, look, we put a new screen. I think that either was the PSP or the Vita that did that exact same thing. Like, look, we got a new screen. You're like, you just closed up security loopholes, you jackasses.
They put a worse screen on it. Yeah. It was with the Vita, and they added Borderlands. It came with Borderlands.
Yeah, but they touted it as an upgrade.
Yeah, they did, but the review showed it wasn't. So a lot of people didn't buy, and that's why I still died.
So I'm kind of seeing this as a positive spin on them being like, we need to put a new chipset in, and we need to make the manufacturing for the screen cheaper so we make more money. A new version of the Switch is coming out, everybody, and Nintendo fans, yes, I include myself in this. Well, no, I don't include myself in this one because I'm not falling for it this time. Are dumb enough to be like, oh yeah, cool, new Switch, all right, let's go. Like, I don't get me wrong, I bet you they'll put a positive spin on it, but I would really be interested if there were more than basic quality of life upgrades, cost reducing measures, you know, efficient scaling, new screen, not because it's necessarily better, but because it's cheaper. We already know that. I don't know if this is a big grand unveiling of the Super Switch as much as it is the second iteration that makes them more money and is more secure for them.
And you bring up a good point also with like the as a fellow fool, because I'm one of those people that occasionally buy an iPhone every iteration, like I did last time. But yeah, and I wonder for people that don't have Switch, like Brian, do you think, like, is there anything the new Switch for 2019 that it can do that'll entice you, or is it just more of the games?
It's more of the games. And to be fair, I'm tempted to now buy the first version Switch for reasons involving high seas. So that's all I can say.
I would say that a lot of people, I'm not advocating that anyone go sailing or anything, but I would say it would be worth it, because if I'm right, then if you have an original Switch, it's possible that some good Samaritans, you know, who are also sailing, might put that capability into the original Switch. I'm just saying. This is all speculation.
Talks amongst themselves.
Everybody loves the Caribbean, is all I'm going to say.
Right.
And we ain't talking about Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, look, like, the solutions sometimes fall off the back of a truck, and you happen to be lucky enough to be in the path of these solutions falling off the back of said truck. And that is what Nintendo is really worried about, things falling off the back of trucks and taking money out of their pocket. So I think that's what the big move here is, personally. And I think that coincides with the ROM crackdown too. Like, that's, they're really worried about this thing getting opened up.
Is there a target, like, sort of battery life that you guys would want from the Switch? Because I don't use
double.
A Switch. Ooh, double.
I never really have an issue with it, but then again, I plug it in after I play it, like, every night. But that's a habit from my phone. You know, I just plug it in. You know, I'm just used to that. But I never really have.
It's got 4 hours though. Like, and I understand that most of us adults don't actually sit around and play more than 4 hours worth of video games before we have to, or in a place to be able to plug it back in. But multi-use, you know, in multi-child households, when it's getting passed around from hand to hand to hand to hand, you know, it's my turn, give me, oh, let me try. I think an 8-hour battery life would be a little bit more acceptable. And that's not even touching cell phones.
So keeping the Switch theme on, because I think we're pretty much done talking about the whole the 2019 revision thing. Brett, I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
All right. I'm going on a very long trip in a few weeks. Plane ride, maybe 13, 14 hours.
Yes.
Cooking mama.
I'm contemplating taking my Switch, but in order to reduce weight and sort of volume costs, like, just to not pack as much, I'm contemplating not bringing it. And I wanted to ask you, could you convince me, or would you be willing to try to convince me to bring my Switch along to my journey?
Now it's, I know different airlines are all different, but don't you have access to power outlets while on the plane?
Yeah, most of them. I
Yes.
mean,
Yes.
right
Yeah.
underneath the
Okay.
seat, so.
And I have a
And do you
power
have
bank
access?
also, so even if they don't have them, I
Are
should
you
be able
trying?
to
Are
use
you
them.
asking him to justify like a game to play during your trip? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like
No,
a.
he's saying to
Yeah.
justify just the extra weight and baggage. Like, first of all, if you have a proper case, it's not really that big. I mean, I can damn near fit the thing in my pocket. Damn near. I can't actually, but it actually doesn't take up a space. Like, I carry a bag around that's just big enough for my iPad. I mean, just literally big enough for my iPad. It's a very small bag because I have back problems and I can't carry a lot of weight. And just throwing it in there, I mean, it's the amount of space it takes is negligible. And the case you usually carry it in has room for all your games and everything like that. So really, all you have to worry about is probably a Hori stand, a controller shell, and an AC adapter, which is no, you know, all of that fits in the space no bigger than a Ziploc baggie. So in terms of amount of space used in a carry-on, like, dude, I'd bring that shit all day. And the great thing is you can fold down the little table in front of you and actually set it on like a little Hori stand. The little Hori stand has a place where you can plug
Yes,
in
I
the
love
AC
my Hori
charger.
stand.
So you can plug in the little AC charger so it can actually be charging and not using its battery while it's just a tiny little screen sitting in front of you. And then you just slip both your little Joy-Cons into the controller shell. Boom, you're off to the races. It's great. And yes, on a 14-hour flight, you best believe I would be wanting to bring video games with me.
Get an 8-Bito controller so that way you don't have to carry the big pro controller.
Which one's that one?
That's that awesome one that I have. The one that's the one that they made for the Switch. It looks like a SNES, a Super NES one, but it has two thumbsticks. It's got the rumble. It's got the four bumpers. Once you sync it up to your Switch, it automatically sees it as a pro. You see it pop up. It's like, oh, you plugged in a pro controller. That's the one I use. So
Nice.
if anybody listening, look up 8-Bito SN30 Pro controller, and
And
it's like $40.
the beauty if you do that is, I mean, if you're wanting to play on the plane with anybody else, like you have that controller and then each
Yep,
Joy-Con,
and
and then
yep.
each has the little strap on it. So you have a total of three controllers
You could play
immediately.
Overcooked for cooking.
So also, second part of the question, what games would you recommend me taking other than Breath of the Wild?
Doom.
I would take Mario Kart with you because, weirdly enough, the Switch is one of those things where if people are around you and like, and you pull out a game like Mario Kart, everybody has played Mario Kart at this point. Everybody fucking loves Mario Kart, even non-gamers. Like, if you pull out Mario Kart, there is a good chance, there's probably about 20 to 30% chance that the person sitting in the chair next to you wants to play Mario Kart with you, or there is somebody on the other side of you. Like, there's somebody near you who's like, "Oh fuck yeah, Mario Kart, can I play?" And that's kind of the magic of the Switch is, tossing a Joy-Con and being like, "Yeah, man, jump in."
Are you going by yourself though?
Yes. Here's,
All right, so there goes that.
yeah. Well, and here's the reason why I'm asking, because I play my Switch, but I play it exclusively on my TV. I never take it anywhere, so I don't know how to fully embrace that portable experience on the Switch.
Get that, use that controller with the Hori stand that Brett was talking about, and that's it. That's all you need. That those two accessories bring that home console experience. The stand helps, it props it up at a good angle, better than what the kickstand does. And then that little controller right there does everything that the Pro, but it's smaller, it's lighter, and you just feel it feels more comfortable when you're on the go. Dump it in your bag, take it out, you know. So I put in the link there, and for people again listening, it's the 8-Bito SN30 Pro.
So we
I
have
agree
it.
with that because you're not using it. Here's the thing, you don't have to use it in handheld mode. When you put it on its little stand and play a controller with it, it's like a tiny TV. It's everything that you had when you had a Super Nintendo, just small and right in front of you.
So we have some suggestions from the chat. Master Shake says Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I haven't played that. Has anybody played that? Nope.
I haven't, but I would probably agree with that. I was actually going to say anything turn-based is going to be really great for you, especially on a plane or in an airport, because you can actually look up and not have to worry about if something has your full attention. It's like a book. You can kind of go back and forth to it at your leisure.
Right.
So, Octopath Traveler, Mario Rabbids.
Hussein mentioned Hollow Knight and Yoku's Island Express.
Those are good. Those are good.
Itself.
Yeah. And like Dead Cells, like those are more Castlevania type games,
Dead Cells is kind of frustrating. I don't know if I.
Well, yeah, that just keeps randomly generating. But if he wants to kill some time, there you go.
Yo, I would say you want hours of gameplay. You got Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Has a lot of content in it.
That's up there.
Also, there's that Monster Hunter Stories that came out on Switch. That what was that 3DS?
Oh, I don't know.
Let me check real fast. But that might be a good one too.
Guts Gore Cannoli. That's a fun one. That's like a Metal Slug type game. You know, with zombies and stuff and a mobster.
Yo, what a ball day. Yeah, so I think I'm getting convinced, 'cause I wasn't too sure about bringing it. I don't know if I wanted to carry on. I'm taking a laptop, I'm taking several other things, and I was just wondering, should I bring my Switch? And I guess this is sort of the best test case for me to sort of
Do
see
you
if.
have a TSA approved bag?
I don't
So
know.
here, the reason why I was gonna bring up, good, it doesn't matter anymore because they throw that out the window. So I have, it's called the Commander. It's a TSA approved bag by, oh man, by oh man, I forgot the name of the shit. It's Timbuktu, right? I love it, right? This thing has like 50 something pockets, right? But it's TSA approved because in the middle of it has a zipper, and then I could lay it flat, and it has pockets for a tablet and for a phone and for a laptop, basically all your gadgets, so that way when they run it through the system, you don't have to take anything out. So anyway, recently when I took my trip back east, I packed all the stuff nice and neat in the way I always have it, and I put it on, laid out flat, and they were like, "You have any electronics in there?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Take it out." I'm like, "But this is certified TSA, but we don't care. Take it out." So yeah, I was just gonna say, if you're looking at getting one of those bags, because a lot of sites were saying, "Oh yeah, get this bag. Don't have to take anything out. Really quick and easy." That's bullshit now. Now they want everything to be taken out.
Oh
Save
yeah,
it.
every time, like last year when I went out, I had to freaking take out my laptop, and it was like, I don't know, it was TSA approved, but I know it's like one of those that you can just unzip and just fold it, like it folds, like on
That
one
it
side,
folds flat.
yeah, folds flat, and then like it's like no, you
Yeah,
take out your
and
laptop, and
that's
I'm like,
well, that's
what?
it exactly. That the whole point of that is so that way it can do a quick scan and they don't have to take everything out. But it's like now they threw that shit out the window. They're like, no, everything has to be taken out. So I'm like, well, I spent the extra because there was one that does not have that feature and I forgot how much it was, but I know I paid extra so I wouldn't have to do this shit when I travel.
Let me give
Whatever.
you the reverse ask. Why would you not bring it?
I'm already taking a laptop so I could either play like a really low, like sort of like a low graphic intensive game, or I could watch a movie there or stuff.
You still play Hearthstone?
No, I never played Hearthstone.
You never play what?
Heroes of the
I did. That
Storm,
was me.
maybe.
Put Hearthstone on there. Do you like Magic the Gathering or any of those type of card games or tabletop games?
Oh no, I never liked Magic the Gathering.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I used
Whole
to.
experience that you're missing out on. The
Well.
whole tabletop gaming is like, it's a genre that's amazing, especially on the go. It's like playing people that play solitaire by themselves all day.
Well, here's the
You
thing.
know, you could do that with the card games.
And this is. I don't know if I should be ashamed of this or not. I don't know. But when Magic the Gathering was getting popular was when I was in high school, at least in my sort of area of people. And that's when I was pretending to be like too cool, you know? So I was like, I'm not gonna play that shit. So I never got into
Sure.
Magic the Gathering.
That's a damn shame.
That
That really
that's when
is.
Carlos was like wearing a leather jacket and he'd go up to the card table and
Right?
just flip it over like
Exactly. Just
nerds and
like,
just
you were
flip
that
it.
guy just kicking all those fucking cards on the floor. Pick that shit up. Swamp walk this
No,
shit.
this is Yu-Gi-Oh Country, bitch, and he flips the tables over.
Okay, I
I
had
think
that same
most of them
opinion about Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, though. Like, this is just imitation magic, you bitches.
are.
Get a zombie deck and grow the fuck up.
Fun fact, our very own Emilio Lopez, he did artwork for Magic the Gathering for some of those cards.
He did.
Yeah.
Nerd.
You can catch him in the New York Comic Con booth.
Yeah, he's at Comic Con right now signing
Yep.
autographs. $75 a pop. That's a discount from what he used to charge. So go out there and get it. Get it.
All right, so
It's actually probably still right out there. No, he's not out there right now, but by the time you guys hear this, he might be out there again, because time is an illusion.
yeah. Illusion. Ooh,
Yeah, Hearthstone is really good on the go game. I heard that they were bringing that to cell phones. I never bothered to check though.
They did. They did.
Yeah, someone at work always plays Hearthstone on the phone.
But they said it's never coming to Switch, and that was when they were announced about the
I
whole
don't
game.
get that.
I
It's
don't
got a
get it.
touch screen.
Yeah,
It's
even
perfect.
I'm like, wouldn't that be perfect? Like, how could you not make this conversion?
Well, here's the fun thing, because I looked up, I was like, what? That's one genre that's not on the Switch. And the first one that's coming, which is in a few months, you would never guess. It's Lord of the Rings, the card game.
What?
Oh, yeah, if you look that up, it looks like, what kind of tabletop card game, but it's Lord of the Rings, and they have packs that you can buy and all that stuff. I'm like, really? No Hearthstone? No Magic the Gathering? This is the first card game to come here and soak up all that money?
By the way, best way to make a long ass flight seem shorter, watch the Lord of the Rings extended trilogy. Just saying. You can never go wrong by watching those
Okay,
old movies.
see, if you feel that way, then I have to very firmly suggest Octopath Traveler, because that is the closest analog to a marriage between a book and a video game that I think you're going to get on the Switch right now.
And I already bought the game. I just haven't played it. So
Oh.
that's perfect.
Wait, which game?
Octopath.
Oh yeah, now then there you go. Then spend time on that. Game over. Next question.
So I have Octopath and I have Captain Toad, the remaster from the Wii U. So
That's a fun one. That's a fun
I think I should be good then. Oh, I wonder if Yoshi's Woolly World would come out. I love that game on the Wii U. But anyways, let's move on to the next topic. What's the next topic? Ooh, The Witcher author sues CD Projekt Red for $16 million in royalties. So, and I'm gonna butcher this name. Andrzej Sapkowski, he's the author of the Witcher series, and the novels, is suing CD Projekt Red for
Please.
$60 million in royalties.
Please.
Apparently, he's go ahead.
No,
He
I'm
backed
just saying
out.
he'll never get it, because that agreement was made back in the
Yeah.
late 90s for the Witcher
Yeah.
license. So he's just got
He's bitter.
remorse that it's
Yeah.
making like it's like tons of money, and he sold it for a pittance.
It's
Yeah.
like, and not only that, because he even said it, and that's open right there. He did it to Eurogamer. They did an interview, and he had just it was like last year, and he talked about it where they offered him royalties, right, lifetime royalties or one lump sum, and he took the one lump sum because he was like, yeah, this isn't gonna work. You guys aren't gonna make any money from this, And so he signed off the rights to that. But he said, and in that same interview, that he was bitter about it, but he deals with it because he still makes the books, he's still expanding the universe, and that he agrees to sign copies of the game. So people show up to his book signings with the game, and he still signs that. So he says they're still in the universe because they start playing the games, and then they want to expand on it, and they get into his books. So he said in that a win-win. So why are you backtracking now? And they're saying, oh, well, it's because it's leaving the video game realm with the whole talk of the TV show. But I have a feeling what he's trying to do is make a big stink, get the bad press, all that stuff out there, and then maybe they'll just give him some shut-up money. I'm like, all right, here, take this fucking money and get out of here. I think that's what this is really
Yeah,
about.
I really think that's it. They're not going to give him 16 million,
No,
but they'll give him like 5 million and be like, "All right, on your way, Grandpa. Keep writing."
no. Well, he was in. He didn't sue during the days of The Witcher 2.
No, because even like Witcher 3 has made like way more money than the first two games combined. That's why he's now like, "What? Excuse me?" And then Netflix licensed it for the or whoever's making the TV show for millions. So he's
Yeah.
like, "Shit, I'm missing out on all this money."
That's my big question. So if they bought the license from him, was it the full license and all representation, or was it specifically in the scope to make a video game series?
It must have been all multimedia representation. So they must Netflix must have had to go to CD Projekt Red to do likeness and stuff for TV, right? They didn't go to him.
Well, I mean they and see that's the thing. Like if it wasn't specifically full multimedia rights, because I gotta think there's gotta be some, like even if it's a ridiculous leg for him to stand on, otherwise this thing would have already, or is it just in the beginning stages and it's just totally gonna get thrown out?
So let me read something out, and this is from the author himself, and this is in quotes. I was stupid enough to sell them rights to the whole bunch. They offered me a percentage of their profits. I said, no, there will be no profit at all. Give me all the money right now. The whole amount. I was stupid. I was stupid enough to leave everything in their hands because I didn't believe in their success. But who could foresee their success? I couldn't. So...
This is just all remorse. He's like, damn, I want some of that pie now.
Yep. Now he's just being pissy. It's like, how many million? I want some of that.
Too bad.
And then the sad thing is he'll probably just raise up a big enough stink that they will give him some money.
Yeah, they'll give him hush money. That's it. They're not going to pay. They already said they're not going to pay him $16 million. Like, no way. Because he could just keep doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, what if they release Witcher 4 and it does even better? Then he comes back, hey guys, I like that pile of money.
Let's talk about that $16 million again. It's like, yeah, screw you, bro. Yeah, like, it's like, what? And it sucks because sometimes you kind of, I don't know about in this instance, but sometimes, you know, like, for example, like music acts, when they're first signed, you know, they get destroyed in their contracts because they're just trying to sign to get anything and record music and stuff like that. But this guy sold his whole franchise for just straight up cash.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't think there's a lot of there's a lot of trash fantasy stuff. As somebody who's a fan of the genre in all its mediums, it is something that's very difficult to make a lot of money with, Lord of the Rings aside.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fantasy novels, a lot of actually decent fantasy novels that a lot of people don't know about or haven't read. I myself have not read probably a dozen or so series that have been recommended to me just because I don't have the fucking time.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of movies. Well, no, and see, that's the thing is kind of like comic books, you know, they're all waiting for an adaptation. Game of Thrones has shown now that there's actually a market for that, but back when this was sold, like, I remember, like, there was just so much saturation and so much stuff that I can understand why he would say, like, this probably isn't going anywhere. Probably wasn't, like, you think fantasy novel author, like, you think, like, okay, you know, some guy sitting in his study, you know, writing with mahogany on the walls, like, it's very possible that this guy had another job, or, you know, this was just a side gig and he could never get these novels to take off. So, I mean, it was definitely a poor decision, but I don't think it's outlandish to be like, this is not going to go anywhere. I just today saw somebody on Twitter basically saying that they would give up the rights to their novel series for free if CD Projekt Red would take it, just because they seem to be doing a good job with it and they would get a massive exposure. Like, you don't make that kind of deal if you're already wildly successful. I guarantee you he thought he was selling a dead project, and now he's just pissed that it's not dead. He's like, I mean, I thought that was good, but it didn't sell any books, and now they're doing it, and everybody fucking loves the story. Like, well, yeah, because they presented it differently.
Well, also, as an older fellow, he probably looked at video games and went, well, if I can't sell novels of this thing, there's no way a video game is going to sell. Video games, he probably thought video games were a shit medium.
Exactly.
Doing any research on it. No.
Yeah, and he's like, wait, how many millions of dollars is it? It's how big an industry? Like, yeah.
Brian, you have any... Oh, go ahead.
Just especially from his tone, yeah, like it, from even from just that quote, like, it was very, he was clearly dismissive of the medium and its potential for success. Yeah, all right, nerds, go off and make a video game. Have fun with that. Just give me my money now.
Plus, we don't know the situation he was in. Maybe that big lump just could have gotten him out of debt and all kinds of things. So he was like, shit, maybe I should take the royalties, but I'm not financially stable now. I need that big lump.
That sounds like he was cutting and running.
Yeah, yeah. That's, well, it sounds like
he's in his own work. No, you pay me now, bitch. Pay me now and I'm out.
Exactly. But we hear that that's within history. You know, it's always been like that with certain brands where it's like later on, the person, the creator said, damn, phony, I would have really thought about it twice and made the big decisions, but didn't think about it at the time.
Now, here's a question that I have. And Brian, I think maybe you're the best suited to answer this. I don't know, but I don't know if you would know this. Do you know how close the Witcher stories are compared to the books or the novels?
I'm trying to remember now. I think that they take place either Before the books or during the books? Sorry, between some of the books. I'm not too sure. But
So,
I don't think that it's like a one-to-one,
right.
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so I wonder, like, why does he want that much? And he's not even, they're not even like adapting like the books 101. They're just using the world.
Oh, because they're making money off, well, people are making money off his books and he wants a piece of the pie. Like, it's blatantly obvious. Like, again, as Chris says, he fucked up. Like, he thought it was going nowhere. I was like, hey, fuck it. Just have what you can. And then it turned out that it was wildly successful and now it's a thing. But I think that at the same time, he should still be humble in that one, he's now getting like all this exposure. And I'm pretty sure that there's been a decent enough drive, like, to get his books anyway,
And that's
so
what he
that
said in his
he's
interview.
still getting like enough. Well, he's still getting something from the book deals, because I'm sure that there's like many people that have played the game and like, hey, you know what? I'll try out the books, because I know one of the big issues with the books is that it's only in Polish. Well, some of them are only in Polish, whereas some of them have been translated to English, but they're still like a some weight. But still, it's like you're still now like a name, and like people see you there. Like, I went to this one place that does like a lot of like comic book stuff and game stuff, and his books were just there, like on the wall. I'm like, this is cool, you know? So, hey, I don't know. He feels bad. I don't feel all that bad for him. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe he's like in bankruptcy or something, or doesn't have any money or not getting anything.
No, and he just went to a lawyer and says, hey, do you think we have a case? He's like, we're suing. We always have a case. You know, and that's the whole thing. Just sue, make a big stink about it. You know, put that stench on this developer, make them look like the bad guy, like they just ripped off this like simple old Polish author, and they'll just throw some money at you know, and to make you go away. And that money could be a few million. So why not? I'm telling you, most likely this lawyer is like, hey, I'm not even going to charge you for this. You know, because if we win, we're going to win big. So he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, I think, it's hard because I mean, you did sign a contract. You did give away the rights to your sort of franchise, and you consciously like told them that yeah, you just want the money and don't really care for royalties or anything like that. So it's hard to sort of feel bad for this guy.
But I'm sure it's eating him up every time somebody comes in with the game. It's like he'll sign it or whatever, and I'm like, man, I can't wait for the next game. I'm not part of that. Oh, what about the TV show? I'm not part of that. It's like, fuck, you got screwed, sucker. And they walk out.
I'm pretty sure he's happy that Cyberpunk 2077 is going on because, like, okay, so they're not making money off of my shit anymore, at least for
Wait, but
now.
then the Hungarian author who wrote that is now coming out. I know, just saying.
Can you
I wrote
imagine?
that. I sold them that story for 50,000.
And they're all like, what, Eastern Europeans that make all
Exactly.
these novels and worlds and stuff?
Dude, if he's so dead set on making a stink about it, like just write a new series of novels. Use your weight as a known author to write a new series of novels, and then hope that Netflix picks that shit up. Like that's the only way to leverage the situation. Also, like even from that one quote that you said, like it sounds a lot like he was the one really pushing for all the money right now.
Yeah, so
So.
in a normal court, he'd have no leg to stand on. Like, all they need to do is, like, here's what Grandpa said on this date. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's pr pretty cut and dry, dude. You sold out. Like, you're not entitled to anything.
I just love the irony of this old guy sitting there yelling, like, no, you give me my money. You give me my money now. I don't want to deal with any of this video game shit. Just give me my money.
He probably thought he was like getting the better off the deal. He's
Oh,
like,
no,
oh,
and that's
yeah.
what's so fucking amusing about it. Like, there's a weird kind of justice there. Like, you sure you don't want to take the royalties? No, this is gonna fail. Give me my money.
Okay.
But you know, you never know. What if he would have did the other way and then the game bombed? Then they would have been like, shit, I could have walked away with a big lump.
That's true.
So you don't know. That's the thing. We can't see the future.
It's the craziest thing. This seems like it was sort of like an all or nothing deal, because a lot of people sell their franchises and still get royalties.
It
Yeah,
sounds
but
like
they
he
did.
refused to have it be an all or nothing, or he made it an all or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were offering him percentage royalties, which he could have been collecting percentage. What he's asking for now, he could have been collecting that all this time.
Yeah.
But he
Damn.
didn't. He opted for a lump sum like that, and then that's it. You're not entitled to anything after
Yeah,
that.
he would have been rich for life. That's it. Done. Set back. Clutch.
Okay, I think we can move on from this. So, on to the next topic. Telltale Games lays off the remaining quote-unquote skeleton crew. So,
That's it.
Telltale Games
Oh
had they had it they had a small piece of their studio remained after the huge layoffs and sort of the demise of Telltale Games. And so I don't know, maybe for contractual reasons they kept it, but according
Yeah, they
to
finished Minecraft because they
yeah,
took the
to
money
finish
already
it
from
for
Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah,
So
the
they
thing.
had to finish that up, and it was toward the end of that project anyway, so
Yep,
that's what happened.
so apparently to one of their employees that was part of that crew, I think her name is Rachel Noel, tweeted that that crew was laid off too. So I don't know
Did they
who's.
know it was coming, or was it
It
a
doesn't s
second round of surprise? Like, because I can only imagine them being like, oh my God, they just got 90% of the company. They're down to a skeleton crew, but I made the cut. I think I'm going to be okay at least for a little while next week.
Nope.
Are you fucking serious? I'm fired too?
Like, all
Like,
right, so
how do you pull that hoodwink twice?
we just finished. Can we celebrate? Yeah, celebrate on your own time. Get the fuck out. What? You're out. We're done. We're done. Pack your shit. You got 10 minutes.
I wonder if they were even at the point where they like knew like, okay, the project is going to be over, layoffs might be coming, or if they just did a whole other like, surprise, you're fired too.
No, I'm sure they knew because they said the whole studio was shutting down and that remaining was only staying to finish that project.
Yeah.
So they probably knew, hey, once we're done, at least they had the heads up. Because like, all right, how long is this going to take? I don't know, 2, 3 weeks. All right, that's how much you got. So
I'm
I'm
sure
sure
they
they
put in their
knew.
best work.
But think about if you were part of that group walking in that office that had all those people and just seeing all those empty desks, no computers, nothing.
And they're
It's
like,
been weird.
we got a whole bunch of monitors that we can use.
I think they took everything out. They were getting liquidated. They're getting rid of all this shit.
There's not going to be a Telltale Games pretty soon. But it's yeah.
Unless our favorite publisher, the what's it, THQ Nordic, go in and buy it. At least just the name. I can see them just buying the name because they can't buy any of the IPs on there. But I could see them buying the name if that goes up for sale.
Why would you even bother buying the name, though?
Why buy THQ? Toy headquarters? Really? What the hell? Who wants
Oh,
that?
THQ, yeah.
You
Not
know, but
Telltale,
they did
though.
it anyway.
But didn't they get some of the properties, though? Some of the games?
They did. They got a bunch of them. And then some other studio went, Deep Silver bought some, and then they went and they bought Deep Silver. Gobbling up everybody. We wanted those. We're not selling. Fuck it. We'll buy you guys. Yeah, we'll sell.
Yeah, but even if you buy Telltale, it's just the name, and the name
Yeah,
is
just
linked to
the
bad publicity and incompetent management. Like,
name.
why would
But
you buy that name?
you would think, why buy? Again, THQ was known for pretty bad games, and they still did it. They still put that in front. I could see them doing a thing. Let's say Telltale's Presents, and maybe they can get some of the older titles that they did produce, because I'm sure they do have a catalog of some older stuff that they own. And I could see them doing that. I don't know. There's something in there. Somebody's going to do it. Look at Acclaim. Didn't you hear about that actor who just bought Acclaim? All the games for Acclaim? What's his name? Oh, fuck. Canadian actor. He was part of
Ryan
some
Reynolds.
TVs. Yeah. Was it Ryan? No, not Ryan Reynolds.
Well, he's a Canadian and an actor.
He is Canadian, but it was just like 2 days ago. He bought the whole entire Acclaim catalog, and Acclaim had some pretty bad games.
God, are you trying to rap? What's his name from Acclaim? He's in that game.
Basically,
Adam's just freestyling over here.
no, I say the actor buys
It says
Acclaim.
Liquid Media buys rights to
Yeah,
65
Liquid
events.
Media, and then look at the owner of Liquid Media. It's a famous actor.
Liquid Media. I don't know. Who the hell is this? I never even heard of this before.
Yeah, because it's the guy. It's you didn't hear the story, or
Or is it that one company that Elijah Wood is doing?
not Elijah Wood. This is a
I don't know. I
keep going. I'll find it. I'll find his name.
so I don't know if anybody else has an opinion on this. It's sort of, I mean, there's already a nail on this coffin. This is just they're just burying the freaking casket in the ground, putting dirt on it, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Like, I mean, and we talked about extensively when they did the initial layoff, which was like what, 90% of the company. So they kept these few guys on, and now like they must have bum rushed these guys to finish whatever it is for Netflix, so they didn't sue them, and then like kick them out the door. And then these guys also don't get a severance, they don't get anything, and it's I think it's a damn shame. And honestly, I think these guys, now that they're out, they should jump on that lawsuit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why they would. It's weird because they pretty much knew they were in a ticking time bomb. So were these people sort of just applying to get, like, jobs everywhere? Were they, I don't know. It's just
Yo.
interesting to see like what like most of their people's like exit strategy was, because they knew they were in a volatile place.
I mean, they probably didn't get one. They probably got the choice of be fired now or be fired in 3 weeks. And
Yeah. So,
that point, you're like,
which is just like a paycheck and a half.
yeah, like I guess I'll take the extra 2 weeks of pay while I look for another job, since I'm basically they got 2 weeks notice is the only difference, I think.
Yeah, man, it's, I mean, like Chris said, it sucks, but it's the nature of the industry. A lot of these studios just go down, and studios like Telltale, I mean, I've had so many issues with them that it's just, I don't know how they even remain viable, to be honest. It just seems like since they worked with so many popular IPs that they seemed to be like they had the sort of the illusion of being well off, but in reality they weren't.
Well, but that'll help all the people that have these, resumes. And I'm not going to diminish the fact that this is fucking terrible. But these are a particular type of people who are used to transitioning jobs fairly frequently in an industry. It's kind of like artists. You get hired on for a job, you get hired on for a company for a little while. These weren't necessarily, steel workers who have been at the same plant for 45 years. So
Right.
there's a fair amount of discussion. I'm sure 90% of these people will find their way to a new studio in the same, making the same amount of work. It's difficult and it's a pain in the ass, but I do think that they're going to be okay-ish for the most part. And I hesitate to say that because the way that Telltale went about this was just the worst possible way, that you can't surprise an entire group of people this way. Letting them know that the project is coming, ending the way that these people did, I think is a bit more industry standard than just shutting the doors on 90% of your staff who doesn't know what's coming. So this is the aftershock of the tsunami. It's not super abnormal. It's just more evidence of Telltale's terrible, terrible management. But as you said, they worked with a lot of high-end IPs. They got a lot of press. It's a well-known studio. It's going to look good on a lot of people's resumes, and they'll bleed into other companies and contribute their talents there. So, and I have made no secret, I'm not a huge fan of Telltale as a company and the way that they went. So, hopefully, the diffusion of talent back into the rest of the industry will be a good thing for both the people working in that industry and the gamers themselves. Maybe I'm just a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe. Well, actually, video game virus brings up a good question that I honestly don't know. I'm wondering if someone here knows. He asks, why bother to sue a company that is bankrupt? It's not like the company has anything to give them. That's kind of why they went out of business. Does anybody know, like, how sort of these people that are suing Telltale can?
Yeah, it's when they sell their assets, they get some of that. So depending on what's in the backup, they don't know everything that they may own that is potentially can be sold.
Yeah, I think it depends on what state, but they could prioritize, like, if they win the lawsuit, they could prioritize the liquidation of all company assets goes to the plaintiffs of the lawsuit, and then goes to the state or whatever, paying back any debtors, any tax liens they or liens that they have. That the priority will go to the lawsuit plaintiffs. Right, so they could get something out of it. Now, I don't know how much. I don't think they'll get what they're asking for, but
Yeah.
they'll get something.
There you go, video game virus. Oh shit. So we're gonna move on to the next topic, and it's not gonna be a good it's not gonna be a good one. So here we go. Study confirms link between violent video games and physical aggression. This is from USA Today. So they said, the latest in the long-standing debate over violent video games, they do cause players to become more physically aggressive. An international study looking at more than 17,000 adolescents ages 9 to 19 from 2010 to 2017 found playing violent video games led to increased physical aggression over time.
That's complete bullshit.
yeah.
I remember hearing the same thing about cartoons and stuff like that. I remember with G.I. Joe, like, oh, this promotes violence, kids see this and they want to go and kill people and
Yeah, these studies are never, like, as scientific as they say they are, they're not, because they never account for other factors that are that some of these people they're testing when they go, oh, see, this guy played a violent video game and he committed a violent act, but they never account for, well, what's his family life like? This guy in trouble? Does this guy have mental issues? They never account for any of that. Just take a pool of people who play violent video games and then don't correlate. Well, people who have who may be depressed or have problems or whatever will gravitate towards these games, and then they may be more susceptible to doing something in the real world. So they never correlate that. There's, oh, see, he played violent video games. Obviously made him violent. Then he went out and did something bad.
Hey Chris, have you ever heard about the correlation between serial killers and white bread?
Oh. Oh my
I'm
God.
seriously, like 90% of all serial killers consume white bread on a daily basis. In fact, upwards of 75% have ingested white bread within 4 to 6 hours of committing a violent homicide.
Yeah, but let's not account for, like, economic factors why they're eating white bread. Like, if you buy Wonder Bread, and maybe you don't have money for, like, some nice whole grain bread, and maybe you got money issues, maybe because somebody's jerking you around, and maybe you're like, I've had enough of that shit, and then somebody correlates white bread, shit, bleached flour is making these guys violent.
Oh man, yeah,
The real sin of gluten.
it's like a
I love too that they base this off Call of Duty and GTA, two of the most widely played games
right.
of all time. Like, if you had to just say, like, what's a game that everybody plays? Oh, it's gonna be GTA. So, like, I like the fact they don't like. I think they threw Manhunt in there randomly for no reason.
Well, people look for the laziest way to sort of, to sort of fucking validate their preconceived notions about something. And this is like, oh, so we have a whole bunch of people that are violent. Did they play violent video games during their lifetime? Oh, they did. Oh, that must be the reason. It's like, well, did you ask the thousands of other kids that weren't violent that probably played the same video games? Because these games,
Nope.
GTA, Call of Duty, are zeitgeist games, our favorite term, and it's like everyone plays these games. So like, yeah,
We
like
should all be going crazy then.
it's like most violent. Like if your name is John or Sam, you're prone to be more violent than someone named Peace. But it's just as a valid point as the one
If you
they're
have three
presenting to
first
us.
names, you're gonna be a serial killer.
Yeah. Well, that is true.
I like in the paper, or they even quote saying, although no single research project is definitive, our research aims to provide the most current and compelling responses to key criticisms on the topic. Translation is about 5 pounds of bullshit, which basically boils down to we're not responsible for what this says, and we're just trying to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. This has no basis because you can't correlate anything. There's like, okay, this guy played a violent video game. Then you ask them, well, all right, what are the, did you analyze any of the key factors in this person's life? What, how is their economic standing? What is their family life? Do they have any problems? Have they have any history of violence? Did they commit violence before you did the study? They don't have any answers to that, or they'll go, oh, pfft, don't ask about that, because that would totally blow up the narrative that this is completely skewed, so you could get the response you want. This is a glorified focus group. All this shit is, and then focus, you could steer anything in the direction you want to get the answer you want. So that's why I completely dismiss this as total bullshit.
And
Yeah, I like the fact that they not that I've seen any mention of intensity of play style. Like, so this could just say, have you ever played Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty or any like game? It does, it makes no distinction between somebody who plays compulsively for 8 hours a day versus somebody who played once a few years ago at a friend's house. So like that covers a huge, like not even people that actively play, but it could just be people who have played. They're not really super clear about it. So, but the funny thing about this is it keeps rolling around. What is it? It seems to be increasing in frequency, but this same stupid argument is raised up and then tamped down since all of us were kids. And it keeps being brought back up. And the problem is, A, that there's no data to correlate these things, but B, that there is data to suggest that there is no correlation between these things.
Well, it's there it's this is what they do. They have point A, which is violent people, and they have point X, which is violent video games, and they draw a line and connect those two dots. But what they don't see is that it's a fucking three-dimensional scatter plot of things that contribute to someone being violent that they don't look at. They just look at these two points. They connect them because it's the easiest thing to do because
It's lazy science.
exactly, it's
No,
lazy.
it's not science. It's pseudoscience.
It is pseudoscience, but here's my criticism though. Every time they've actually done like controlled studies of these things, like actually like judged people before and after and actually had some scientific method applied, they almost always conclusively come to the opinion that there is no correlation, that it has no effect on a person's well-being. In fact, it helps them reduce aggressive behavior as well as increases critical thought responses in the brain as well as reflex time. Like they found nothing but good responses in the brain every time they actually do real science. But constantly this pseudoscience shit keeps popping up. And that, to me, that's the real news story here. Like this is just another one of those bullshit articles, I'm sure that's thrown around because everybody wants to fan the flames. But the real question here is why does this shit keep getting being propped up and brought up when it's been laid to rest by actual science?
It's by the same reason why flat earthers keep bringing up their own shit. And by the way, I also want to mention and say what's up to
I
Tony Polanco, who just joined us. What up, Tony?
Yo, what's going
Can't
on,
believe
man?
the flat
Yeah, no,
earth.
you're right about that. It's like we've had these studies for fucking almost decades now, if you think about it. This shit keeps getting debunked all the time, son. Now suddenly this stupid thing comes out. Like you said, it's pseudoscience. It seems to me it's like, they weren't happy with the results, and now they finally got the result they wanted because of some
But
bullshit, you
yeah,
know?
it's a good study. Now I'm gonna put on my tinfoil hat here.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna go full Charlie Day. We're gonna go into Pepe Sylvia territory here.
Do it.
But so think about it this way, like there's been this correlation, like Gamergate keeps popping up because what? Because of the election, right? So I've seen the narrative where they say Gamergate is partly responsible for Trump. So if you start pinning the narrative that gamers are violent and gamergaters are gamers, so therefore they're violent, then you start pulling away like the narrative that, oh, these are people responsible for the orange mean man that's president, so we don't want these people to vote, so we have to declare them mentally ill. And you start putting together studies that show, oh, violent video games make you violent, therefore you're mentally ill. Then you start building a narrative like we need to censor these people, whatever, and then diminish them. That seems to be what I think is happening, why these studies keep popping up, especially now.
Yeah, because remember, I mean, Kristen's pointing it out in the chat right now. There was literally a study this year in January that already debunked this. So I don't know. That's a good theory. You know, it's interesting. It's like if you really think gamers are the reason Trump's president, you know, you want to throw that on him. I'm not going to get into that, but you know, it is a interesting theory. But it's just interesting how, again, we've gone through this year after year, right? Debunked with actual real science. Now all of a sudden, oh, that's it. It's real now. This motherfucker is a violent. That's pretty funny. How many millions of copies has in GTA sold? Why aren't there millions of mass murderers out there? You know? Fuck out of here, man.
Because of valiant articles like this one, Tony.
Yeah,
Watchdog
apparently.
groups keeping an eye on the rest of us dirty gamers.
Stupid.
By the way, shout out to Barry Burton. He says, video games don't make oh, violent video games don't make people violent. And if you disagree, you can fight me in real life.
I said this on Twitter. I said violent video games don't make people violent. Studies that say games make people violent. You know that
This stupid bullshit makes people violent.
exactly. It's fucking dumb.
I mean, people just sometimes want to find things to make them seem educated to other people that are ignorant. And they're like, oh, let me tout this thing that only I am proving, that I am talking about.
It's humanity's fault of always looking for answers. Not everything can be explained. That's just one of them. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, this guy has had a horrible upbringing, or this guy only
Oh,
read
I wouldn't
angry
even label
comic.
it that. Like the pursuit of science and understanding the world around us and stuff, those are noble pursuits. This is not a noble pursuit. This is propaganda that's trying to be propped up with a pseudoscience bullshit focus group.
Yeah,
To
because
yeah.
and Chris mentioned this earlier, like they don't take the steps to see if these specific people who were actually violent had any other issues at home. They
Yeah,
just
maybe they're eating too much Wonder Bread, man. How about that?
But yeah, like
This is one of those studies. They already had their conclusion, and then they just found shit to make it look true. That's not how science works. You decide, hey, is this happening? Then you do a bunch of studies, and then you let the conclusion speak for itself. These motherfuckers came with the conclusion and, like, you know, peppered their study to make it seem like, you know, credible to stupid people, because smart people will see right through this,
Here's
obviously.
my big question. Like, okay, like let's give them the boulder size grain of salt here and say that there is correlation. Let's say that they're directly correlated, right? Here's my big ask. What's to say that playing these video games makes people violent instead of violent people also play these video games? Because if somebody's gonna go out and hit a cat with a hammer, chances are they're not going to be squeamish about the gory scenes in Call of Duty. But that doesn't mean that every motherfucker who plays Call of Duty is out there being an abusive psychopath. It might just mean that people who like violence enjoy violence.
And something triggered, and I would just do it.
Yeah, no, you're talking crazy right now. People that are violent like violence? No.
Implausible. Like it's stupid. Like what made people violent back in the day? Was it rock and roll? You know, like was it
Yeah.
Before that,
was it the TV?
now I was like, listen, mother, okay, I want to know
Always been.
what video games were cavemen playing when they were killing each other with rocks and sticks?
Dude,
What were they playing?
if you go back far enough, books were the devil.
Yeah.
The transistor radio, man. It's like they'll always try to scapegoat whatever medium is sort of trendy at the time. And it's like they don't attempt to understand anything and like the psychology of people and why they
Well,
make
let's see what happens with Fortnite, because what millions of kids are playing that right now. So, are they going to blame something?
yeah
Oh
it,
my
it's
God,
they're just going to be building shit all willy-nilly.
since we've existed as a species, we've been violent, and video games came out what hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years after the fact, and now you just want to say that violent video games are the reason why we're violent. Or at least a huge reason why we were violent. It's like
Now,
it's so fucking stupid.
you are completely discounting the epidemic of block stacking that came after Minecraft. I mean, we had kids just stacking boxes. I mean, in Korea, they were just doing it until they dropped dead. They would just stack cardboard boxes on top of each other and build little castles and then fall over dead. The poor 8-year-olds. I mean, oh, wait, none of that happened because that's not how real life imitating video games works. It's this whole thing is predicated on so much stupidity that we're actually, I think, having trouble having an intelligent discussion about it, other than the fact that, yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah, I think we're getting dumber talking about it, to be honest.
All right. I'm sick of these things.
Yeah, it's it was a really bleak week when it came to video game news. So I had to get something that would get us riled up.
Oh no, I think the fact that it was a bleak week is why shit like this like popped up. If you think about it, since there was nothing to talk about, like, hey, slow news week. What are we gonna talk about? Violent video games again. You know, this is not gonna be the end of it. You know.
But it's interesting, like I said, like the fact that this news story pops up, I think, is a bigger news story than the story that it actually is about.
Yeah.
It really goes to show, and I don't think Chris's tinfoil hat is far off. It one of the things that certain video game movement a few years ago kind of taught us is to look very critically at journalism and how journalism works. And I think that's being bled over into the real world right now. And so I don't think that it's inappropriate to be like, hey, it's a slow news week. Suddenly, when there's a lot of political shit going on, suddenly a news story pops up blaming gamers for being violent and essentially making a leap of logic to being the most terrible people that are ruining everything. Like, it's just interesting the timing that this comes up and how this kind of thing pops up. We would expect to have seen this right after the Call of Duty thing got shot up. That was Call of Duty, right?
That was Madden.
Madden, that's right. After the Madden thing got shot up, people were surprisingly quiet about it. Yet now the news article pops up. Like, that just seems weird to me. So I think, like I said, the more interesting thing here is, like, why the fuck does this keep popping up even though it's constantly disproven? It doesn't have anything to do with tinfoil hattery.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. So I think we can move on to the next topic, and it's going to be our final topic and our favorite topic, and that is, what games are we playing? So I'm going to start with Adam on this. Adam, what you been playing, man?
I've been playing Overcooked, the first one. It's part of the Game Pass or Xbox Gold, and my daughter's big into cooking, so I was like, hey, you want to try this? And she's like, okay, and she got hooked. So we've been running around and making onion soup and doing all that stuff, which is cool because, you know, it's bringing her into, you know, just playing games with me as opposed to just playing, you know, her.
Where do you play that
own game? In our own way. So it's fun. Playing.
By the way, is it just me or is Adam like lagging?
He's either cutting. He's either falling asleep with your grandpa or he's cutting in and out.
Yeah, he's cutting out hardcore, son.
Yo, Adam.
I like to think that he's just nodding off.
That would be pretty funny, Adam.
Yo, his incident must have been.
Yeah.
That Overcooked game was too good, man. All right, so let's move on to Chris. Chris, what have you been playing?
I have not been playing Jack.
Oh, shit.
Work is just keeping me busy. You know, all I've been doing, like, I meant to pick up Mega Man, I didn't. I've just been swinging around, still messing around with Spider-Man. It's just so cathartic, just swing around and then punch somebody up in the air and then swing away. So I've been doing that. I've been meaning to, actually, I got the hankering to play the Far Cry 5 DLCs. I didn't get one of them because I don't know why it took so long. That when the game came out, like, I played it for like a month and the DLCs didn't come out. The Mars one, the zombie one, they only just recently got released. So I'm like, shit, I should go back and play those. So I'll probably install it tonight and mess around with that. But I didn't get a chance. I've just been like busy with work stuff. So I'm moving to that. So I'm going to play that. And then I'm just going to bide my time probably with Mega Man and stuff till Red Dead comes out. That's really what I'm waiting for.
Nice. Brett.
I actually hung up my webs because I came to the realization that I want a little bit more content to go along with my DLC. So I'm actually going to, I think I still plan on platting the game. I'm actually going to wait, I think, until the Black Cat comes out, and that way I have, you know, a little bit more than 5 hours. It's just not as fun to me running around and tightening up loose ends. I've come to learn this about myself, so I'm definitely gonna make sure that I get all the stuff done before I complete the next DLC. But that gives me some stuff to do there, so I've kind of taken a bit of a hiatus. Played a little bit of GTA, played a little bit of Divinity, and nothing was really catching me. I'm really excited for Odyssey, and it just finished downloading right now, actually, while I was talking. So,
oh, the game comes out today or tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I'm looking forward to spearing some motherfuckers.
Wait, what is this?
Assassin's Creed.
Oh, okay.
Assassin's Creed.
Ass Creed.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get that game.
I didn't play Origins, so I definitely don't have the Assassin's Creed fatigue thing going on. I'm actually pretty excited to go back to it.
I'm on the same boat, man. I can't wait. So,
And there are boats,
yep. For me, I have been playing Spider-Man. I still haven't beat the campaign. I'm in the third act. I've just been doing a whole bunch of side stuff, and I'm going to plat it for sure, because it doesn't seem that hard. So, and I like the game a lot enough that I just enjoy swinging around. Like, whenever I get that little, like, someone's doing a crime, whether it's, like, one of the two factions, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm like a dog when I hear someone call my name. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, I'm just going to swing
to you. You got to. You're Spider-Man. You can't just swing on.
You have a responsibility. Yep, exactly. It's like, you can't let these people down.
It's a good thing they didn't put something in the game. Like, if you ignore the police radio call, like, you see the ghost of Uncle Ben look at you.
It starts off just whispering to you, with great power. And you're like, shut up.
Shut up. I'm going to the buggy, all right? Get off my back.
Oh shit! But yeah, that's all I've been playing. I've been playing Spider-Man, and No Heroes of the Storm again. So to all those keeping count, No Heroes of the Storm for 2 weeks in a row.
That's another game I'm gonna try out, Carlos.
Oh, you're gonna try Heroes of the Storm? About, so,
yeah, I'm gonna download this weekend.
Oh, let me.
So more people were playing Dota 2, and yeah. I'm like, nah, it's too much for my blood. And they're like, we're switching to Heroes of the Storm. I'm like, I could play that.
Yeah, man, it's pretty good. It's not like there's not a steep learning curve like Dota or like League of Legends.
Yeah.
It's more accessible and it has some pretty cool characters that from previous. It has a lot of StarCraft. If you play StarCraft, a lot of characters you're gonna see and be like, oh, cool, and like Overwatch and stuff like that too. So yeah, if you want to play with someone, let me know. I can play.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna get it. Cool. I'm gonna do it.
All right, Brian, what about you, man? What you been playing?
I've been continuing to play Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, shit.
In 60 frames? I actually finished. What's that?
In 60 frames?
100 frames.
Oh, shit.
Got the GTX 1080. Like, no. Yeah, I've actually finished the main game. I went through, did all the dungeons normally. And then I learned about like the super dungeons that are hidden inside because Square Enix is now pimp my ride. It's like, hey bro, we heard like dungeons, so we put dungeons in your dungeons. It's like, why? But anyway, yeah, the dungeons.
Seem like a dungeon, Brian.
Yeah, and then the worst part is that you actually don't know how to open them until like after the game. So hence, you do have to like just come back again, which is good. Yeah, I'm just going through that and. Then I heard about there's some ultra boss like that's like really hard in the game somewhere.
Oh yeah.
So I went to track that down and beat that and then call it a day. And also, fun fact, Final Fantasy 15 is the first game I finished this year that I did not platinum. Feels weird.
Because you can't platinum in like.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Well, I can. I'm just playing it on PC, so I'm. It's like the first one I've finished that. No, wait, that's a lie. That's Fear. Sorry. Yeah, I finished Fear as well, like a couple of days ago.
Nice. Hey,
God, that game is amazing. Yeah. Fear and Final Fantasy.
Yeah, so Brian, for me, like talking about platinums, Final Fantasy 15, I have every trophy except for, well, at least for the main game. I have every trophy except for the one where you have to beat that one monster you're talking about.
Oh no, not the giant turtle. The like one that they added in the Royal Edition.
Oh, okay. So this is a
yeah.
New... Oh yeah, I was talking about the giant turtle. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yes, I've not fought that yet either. I'm gonna do that after the dungeons.
Yeah, and then so I need to do that, and I need to get the one of the. You know how you collect the swords. From those dungeons and things, I just need to do the one that has. It's like more like a puzzle dungeon. I don't know if that.
Oh, that, I know the one you're talking about. That's a pain.
So that, yeah, man. So I was like, okay, so I think I'm gonna get the plat for this, and then I went to that dungeon. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I'm like, I'm just gonna stop playing this shit. I'm just gonna move on, and I left like two trophies to get a platinum. I'm like, right, whatever.
I know the exact dungeon you're talking about, and I did the same thing first time around, because I went through like all the puzzle thing. I'm like, I'm back where I started. Like, I don't understand like how this works, and then I just left. Mm-hmm. And then like later on, I just got told like, oh, you just need to do like four or five times, and then it comes through. I'm like, how am I supposed to know that?
Exactly. Yeah, know? Exactly. I'm the same way. I don't know what the hell to do. I didn't talk to anybody about it, but yeah. Well, I think I talked to Tony about it, but yeah, man, I don't know. I might go back to just to get those two trophies, so I can have more platinums. Man, I only got two. I'm probably gonna have three by the end of the week. Spider-Man.
Nice.
All right, Tony, what you been playing, man?
Yeah, this week not much gaming for obvious reasons, but I have been playing Mega Man 11 and Valkyria Chronicles 4. I talked to you guys about this, and I've decided I'm not going to get Assassin's Creed Odyssey now. I'm going to just play Valkyria, finish it off, and then Red Dead comes, obviously, and then after that, I'll jump on that Odyssey, you know? I want that slate clean, baby.
Holy shit, am I going to play a game before you?
Yes. Now, the question is, will you beat it before me?
Oh.
Shut your whore mouth.
Well, it's like, yo, man, you may start that race first, but I run faster than you, man, and I'm crippled.
And Red Dead comes out in 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks. Or
yeah, man. I guess I could say this is not under embargo. I also played this weird... It's a Walking Dead game, but it's Pokemon Go, essentially. Like, it's an AR thing. Really weird to walk around and see zombies and shit. And then I played this fucking like a Marvel card battle game. It's like, think of like Magic the Gathering, but like digitally. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of weird to explain it. You know, I'm already hearing someone. What about Hearthstone? Yeah, something like that, I guess. Just with Marvel characters, you know. But yeah, Mega Man. That's like the game I play when I have like a little bit of time to kill, man. Cool game. My only complaint is the fucking those levels are too long, man. You know, but it's fun. It's fun. Valkyria Chronicles is so good when it hits the lips.
So good, man. Yeah, I think that is all for the topics. Yeah, so I think we can end this show. So, everyone, thank you for watching and listening. Make sure to subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. I was your host, Carlos Romero, and I was here joined by Tony Polanco.
Yo, me and Manny are at Comic-Con. Come check us out. Manny's at Table G17 at Artist Alley. And Saturday is going to be the day where I'm actually going to be on the show floor. So hit me up on Twitter, and I will gladly meet anybody. Man, if you want to go to dinner or something, let me know, son. Let's fucking do this, man. And I will be back on Sunday after the show. I'll give you a recap and all that shit. Also, if you're going to, like, kick somebody in the head, saying that you were aiming for their phone is not an excuse. How to get that out. All right.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Brian Manjoma.
Frost is like a plate. It can be broken, but with time and care, it can be put back together.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real party, people.
Oh, fuck you guys. Whatever.
And shout out to Adam Vale, who somehow didn't make it.
Yo, Call of Duty.
Make sure to watch Lucha Underground. All right. FIFA. Later, people.
FIFA. Deuces.